888-876-2336, 888-888, Road Dog.
We're going to talk with Chris the Toolman Duke about some tools.
The Duke of Tools?
Ooh, huh? Nothing can stop the Duke of Tools.
That's what I heard. I hear that. Stay right here. He'll join us next. With State Weather on Free Will and brought to you by Boyd Brothers Transportation. Visit driveforboyd.com.
Because they are stay for murderer. I'm the lyrical gangster. Murderer. Big up the crew in the area. Murderer. Still have you like that.
Freewheeling with Chris Duke, the Tool Man, executive producer and host of Motors TV and .TV, and Craftsman Tool Advisor. Hey, Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, good to be here. You're playing my song.
That's right.
Duke of Tools, as we renamed
like it.
Nothing can stop the Duke of Tools.
See, I haven't heard that one before. I got to change my tagline or something.
But, I'm telling you, it'll work for you. Duke of Tools.
Isn't it the most important thing is having the right tool for the right job?
It is, and that's what Motors is all about. So, but and I love the last caller. He was talking about his 300 tools that he had, and he just had to mention that he had Craftsman on board. So,
you know, unprompted by us, that's right.
Favorite totally
Bob is a Craftsman fan, which is the brand I grew up with. I got to say, my father was a mechanic, and
wouldn't let the Snap-on calendar near you because you know.
Well, he didn't buy Snap-on tools. He had Craftsman.
Well, people just cared about the calendar back then.
Yeah,
not so much now.
And he had a couple of other things, but I remember going to Sears Automotive Center all the time with the old man to buy.
Isn't that just a toy store? Just walking in there.
Yeah,
you want to spend the entire day looking at tools.
Well, he just liked their guarantee. Like you know, they'll replace it. There are no questions asked. You could walk in there with a 30-year-old wrench. And if it broke, they'll replace it.
Yeah.
Pretty good deal.
So Motors, it's nationally televised automotive improvement series. That's what it is. So people tune in. It's kind of like a more user-friendly interactive car talk, right? You can actually kind of guide people through what they need to do for certain things.
Yes. It's televised in the U.S. Our main distribution is DirecTV and Dish Network. So it's on Thursdays at noon. It's on the Pursuit Channel, which I'm sure a lot of your audience has heard of, DirecTV Channel 604 and Dish 393. So it's a half-hour series, and it's also televised up in Canada on the Rural Channel, coast to coast. And I heard your Canadian caller on earlier as well. So
and we have a lot of Canadian drivers and a lot who cross over.
Now you were born outside of Los Angeles. Anywhere near Pomona by any chance or where?
No?
Yeah,
no. Why?
Because it's the car. I consider that the epicenter of car culture in the United States.
Yeah,
it's a hot rod culture. It's customized culture out there where cars don't rust. So were you always around cars and customization and?
I grew up in up in Washington State, and it was mainly due to my dad and my two older brothers being into vehicles. I had an older brother that was constantly ripping engines apart and rebuilding engines, and just kind of caught on to me. I kind of got caught up in the aftermarket side of things. You know, once you have a vehicle, what can you do to it next? Car stereos, lifting, suspension type stuff, performance stuff. That's kind of the direction that I headed, which was different from my older brother, who was just constantly, like I said, ripping apart engines and putting them back together to get more horsepower out of them. So that's kind of where I fell with pickup trucks and cars, just late model stuff.
So you're no stranger to the J.C. Whitney catalog.
Yeah, that's fun to flip through too, isn't it?
Yes. But it's a lot of bolt-on stuff. I mean, you're dealing with a lot of stuff that folks can go out and buy off the shelf and use to customize their car.
Yeah, the show mainly caters to the aftermarket, you know, SEMA manufacturers. And so every year we build up a vehicle and bring at least one to the SEMA show in Las Vegas to kind of show it off along with everybody else. But we'll handle everything from performance type stuff like superchargers and nitrous, transmissions, engines and brakes and gears and things like that to appearance and restyling, you know, like vehicle wraps, detailing, you know, bumpers and winches and things like that. We've also showed how to rebuild a Chevy small block 350. That's a 5-episode series, and that's been one of our more popular little mini series of the show, showing how to, you know, start with a block and go all the way through the entire process of taking it to a machine shop and, you know, bolting everything on and putting it together. So a lot of people have rebuilt the engines because of motors, just because they watch the show and they see how simple it really is. But we've got some educational stuff as well on, you know, how to, you know, install spark plugs and, you know, how to do some welding. And we've got a towing episode coming up pretty soon here. We've got a diesel episode too. That was pretty popular. If you,
yeah, I'm looking at it now, introducing the new motors girl, Bridget. But you go all over diesel engines and diesel fuel and how to maintain a diesel engine. Anything, any advice you could offer to the drivers that are listening?
Just to, if you want to know anything about diesel engines and the differences between diesel and gas, there's a fun section of that episode where I've got two beakers full of fuel. One's got gas, one's got diesel, and I throw a match in both of them, and the diesel doesn't blow up in my face. And so that was kind of a fun little thing to film. But anything you ever wanted to know about diesel, watch that episode. It's and since you mentioned that. You know, it is televised, but it's also online as well on YouTube. All 78 episodes, 6 seasons, are available on YouTube in the full length. It's a half-hour show. So you can watch it on TV here in the U.S. and Canada, but you can also just go online and watch it on demand.
Very cool. So what do you suggest? If someone says to you, look, I'm about to hit the road, I'm going to be an over-the-road driver, what do I bring along in my tool bag and my tool kit? What do you think of the essentials?
Well, I've got a small Craftsman Mechanics tool set that just has some, you know, basic sockets, wrenches, and screwdrivers and things like that. It's always good to have a AAA card with you, too. That always comes in handy. But as far as just tools, having an adjustable wrench of some sort, you know, like a crescent wrench, you know, Craftsman calls them adjustable wrenches. Of course, they can't use crescent, but, you know, some screwdrivers and, you know, a flashlight helps if you're stuck at night. Gosh, what else? You know, there's so many different things you can have, but those are the basics. I always have a toolkit with me. And if I'm not using it for something that I need, somebody else that's stranded needs it. But yeah, just your basic socket kit, some wrenches and screwdrivers usually handles most of what you need to do.
Yeah, because our, you know, people who drive a truck have limited space. And
yeah.
So they really have to maximize what they bring with them.
Yeah, well, if you've got a car or a truck, you typically have even less space than those guys do, and they're probably pretty tight because they've got to bring so much with them on those long trips. So, yeah, I was looking at your Facebook comments. A lot of people were recommending duct tape, and that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, that's good for many things.
Yeah,
you bring your kids with you during the summer, and they get out of hand.
Yeah,
you know,
duct tape on the side of the car.
But with cars, with four wheelers, the more weight that you put in the trunk, say, you know, putting tools in there or whatever you need, you're going to get worse mileage, right? So you also want to keep it light.
Yeah, no, you do. But, you know, even a small mechanics tool set isn't going to be that heavy. So that's not usually a huge concern unless, you know, you're sticking your children with the duct tape in the back and you don't want to do that.
Hey, no, that's only for very bad children.
Let me ask you this. What's the last time you did have to do a side of the road repair? Was there the time you broke down and were grateful you had some skills?
And grateful nobody had a cell phone camera out going, hey, it's Chris Duke from Motors.
Yeah, look at that guy. He doesn't know what he's doing. no, that actually hasn't happened. we typically have you know, newer vehicles, but no. Okay. I'm trying to think. No, I haven't been stranded on the side of the road in in so long, I can't even tell you. But
what can we expect coming up on the show?
We are the next episode is all about towing. So from your small trailer all the way up to a fifth wheel, whether you've got a car or a dually, basically everything that you ever wanted to know about towing. And the other thing that we're working on is 2014 Jeep Wrangler. So we're building that up. That's going to be a few episodes, and that's our SEMA project vehicle this year. So we're building that up, and we'll have that in Vegas for a week for everybody to take a look at. So we've already lifted that, got new wheels and tires, 33s, and we are going to touch everything on that, from performance to interior, the stereo, and a whole bunch of different things. So
SEMA's crazy, so isn't it? Like the biggest trade show in the world. It's just enormous.
Yeah, that's what I have heard about. There's so many trade shows that go on in Vegas, but the SEMA show is the largest in Vegas that they have every year, and it takes up the entire convention center, actually two. So it's crazy. I've been going for 14 years in a row now. I can't miss it.
And so you hope to have this Wrangler ready in time to bring it there and.
Yeah.
Right around on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. And last year we brought a Mustang, a 2010 Mustang. We literally finished it the day before. It had an airlift suspension system on it. We had a supercharger kit in it. It looked really, really cool. But we literally finished. Oh, it was wrapped, too. The wrap on it was finished like the day before we took it and drove it to Vegas. So yeah, it can get a little crazy for that show, trying to get everything done last minute.
So what are you?
Hopefully that won't happen.
Chris Duke is with us. Chris, the Toolman Duke. What are you trying to showcase with the Wrangler build? What exactly are you?
Well, the Jeep aftermarket is huge, and obviously we can't showcase every single different product on it, and so we just want to show some of the common things, and nothing is extreme on this vehicle. We may do a supercharger that might be a little bit on the extreme side for most people, but most people that get a Jeep, they want to lift it, they want to have better off-road capabilities, and so we've done a mild lift, and your average 33-inch tire upgrade on it, and just doing a lot of aftermarket things to it on the interior and exterior that most people would want to do. And so that's really, really the focus of the show, is to grab a vehicle and try to find out what it is that most people do to it, and then show it, because in the end, that's what they're going to do when they go get that vehicle, and showing them which tools that they need, and the step-by-step process of how to install these products gives them the confidence to go do it themselves and save a lot of money, as opposed to taking it to a shop and just saying, here, you do it all, and right, paying all those expensive labor costs. So,
well, I owned an 87 Jeep Wrangler, and one of the things I found fascinating was I could have easily spent as much on aftermarket stuff for that car as I did buying that vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. I started getting these catalogs in the mail, and they had literally, thousands upon thousands of accessories that you could change out your seats, add stuff, take this off, put that on, remove this, add that. It just was mind-boggling just how much stuff there was for the Jeep.
It really is.
The interesting thing, too, is now Jeep has gotten into that whole aftermarket thing themselves.
Last
few Jeeps I've seen, they really have gotten the message about how much customization they're going to let you do at the dealership as well.
Yeah, a lot of different car manufacturers are kind of jumping on that and adding, all these options at the dealership. But but they're expensive. Yeah, but that's true. My first vehicle, as soon as I was able to drive, it was a little Honda Civic, and I poured so much money into that. It was.
Did
probably,
you buy the noisy, annoying muffler?
No. All the stuff that I did to it was on the interior. It was just a massive stereo inside. I built a sub box that was the size of the hatchback. So there's no storage. It was just a giant subwoofer.
Those are so ghetto. We had a Honda Civic, and I can't even tell you the number of times that some kid stopped us in a bad neighborhood and offered us a ridiculous amount of cash for that car. They love to slam them. They love to do all kinds of crazy stuff to those.
Yeah, well, I was like, 18 or whatever at the time, and that was fun. I'm in my 40s now, so I would never do that. But that's what I did. It was a lot of fun to experiment with electrical. And anyway, the value of all the stuff that I poured into that car you know, was easily double the actual worth of it. So, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, yeah. It's a fascinating website and show. You can see the show at motors.tv, use a Z.
Or on YouTube, yeah. Right? You're accessible by YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, all the videos at the Motors website are just YouTube embeds. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly where we source the content from. But yeah, it's spelled incorrectly, MOTORZ.TV. But you could just go to Google and type in Motors, and it will come right up, too. It's also on Roku. We've got a huge following on Roku, and it's on iTunes. It's on a whole bunch of different places. But yeah, YouTube is the main one for online.
Very cool. And also at ChrisDuke.TV. Is where you
yes. Can. Yeah, that is my personal website. And my blog there, I post articles from time to time, some tips on tools and automotive maintenance and things like that. So it's worth checking out the ChrisDuke.TV site as well.
Well, that's great. We always encourage listeners who, look, some truck drivers, they really know their way around the engine and around the whole truck, and they can fix stuff. Some don't. And for those who don't, it can be very helpful. And for those who do, it's just more fun.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a, you know, DIY type content for truckers, but, you know, a lot of stuff from cars and trucks carry over, I would imagine. And my best advice is to just not be shy about it, you know, get some tools and just figure it out. You know, a simple Google search can turn up a lot of people talking about what it is that you want to do. And, you know, doing it yourself, getting your hands a little bit dirty and kind of getting in there, it'll save you a lot of time and money and, you know, give you that great feeling of doing it yourself. And that helps too when you're on the side of the road and something's bust, you know, being able to fix it yourself as opposed to having to wait for somebody to come and save you.
We like to call that the freewheeling feeling.
The freewheeling feeling.
That's right. Here's what's on your list of 10 tools every mechanic should have: adjustable wrench, standard and metric socket set, screwdrivers, cordless drill driver, needle nose pliers, pry bars, breaker bar, torque wrench, hammers, and work gloves. Those are, you consider those to be 10 essentials for home mechanics.
Yeah, are you looking at my site?
Yes, I'm looking at your blog. Yes, I'm reading your blog.
I'm like, how do you know what I know?
I'm in your head, man. Where are you located these days, by the way? Chris, where are you located these days, by the way?
San Diego, California.
Okay. I was going to ask you if you ever get to the Peterson Museum over there in L.A. One of my favorite sites.
Do you know, a collective gasp let out when you said San Diego. Everybody's jealous.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah,
what are you going to do? Listen, thanks for talking to us, man. We appreciate it.
Well, it's good being on your show today. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, and thanks for tweeting at
well,
us.
Nothing can stop him. So.
Social mediaing. Really? Because he's
I love that stuff.
The Duke of Tools?
We'll keep doing it.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Take care,
man.
All
right, thank you, guys. All right.
Bye-bye.
The Duke of Tools, man. Nothing can stop.
This just in, only two people separate us from 22,000 likers.
We knew it was going to happen when we saw Metal Chris standing in spot number 22. It's like that movie 23, but with 22.
It was an eerie message.
Uncanny.
From Eerie. Hey, Weird Al is coming in at the top of the hour to talk about his new album, joy. Mandatory Fun, and the videos for the parodies of Happy, namely Tacky, and the other one is Word Crimes, parody of Blurred Lines, are available now at his website, weirdal.com, and also on YouTube, and they're hilarious. We'll talk to Weird Al in a few here on Freewheeling. It's Tool Time.